Good evening, everybody. I'm going to respond in a way to the to Sadana Fief's certificates and Olaf Nikolai's postcards. In 2008, an empty postcard holder was exhibited at Esther Schipper Gallery in Berlin. The rack's generally mobile anthropomorphic shape was presented immobilized and stripped to the bones. Artistically contextualized, it undoubtedly resembled Marcel Duchamp's early ready-mades, the Rue de Bicyclette and the empty bottle rack porte-bouteille. But unlike Duchamp's authorized editions, which were individually made, as we heard before, signed Marcel Duchamp, dated 1964 and numbered, the industrially produced rack not only lacks postcards, but also the respective inscriptions on its surface. If you buy an identical object for the usual price of 100 euro online, you still won't be able to claim ownership of it as a work of art. Because in this case, the authenticating signature is on a separate certificate. The text typed on the seemingly non-artistic standardized sheet of A4 paper states that this certificate of ownership, certificate of authenticity ownership is necessary for owning Seelfleuer's Wish You Were Here. Only with that paper is the buyer in possession of one edition. The colored writing, the German word Kopie, was added here by the gallery in order to protect the original document. Today, I would like to point to the following questions. In what way do types of authentication like this become meaningful in contemporary art? What status do they assume not only as legally or economically relevant documents, but in particular with regard to their artistically determined syntax and semantics as text images? Certificates of authenticity are a well-known phenomenon in the history of art. Within the art market, they can be used to retrospectively evaluate the attribution of an artwork with the aid of professional expertise. In doing so, they take on the function of a byproduct or parergon. This traditional authentication of arts leads, I would argue, to authentication as art. The formal and functional distinctions between the work and its byproducts become at least ambivalent. So further questions are, do the specific practices of authentication reveal anything about the general boundary shift within the temporal, formal, and functional relationship between the work and the byproduct, the ergon and the parergon in particular? Do they even interrelate with changes in the definition of art in general? A certificate shows what is commonly not shown, what is invisible or even hidden, something that has gained new importance in the visual arts in the age of digitalization. Martha Buskirk's seminal writings, not only on copyright, but also on certificates, are of special interest here. As every work of art requires some form of authentication, this itself has become a field of experimentation for the artists themselves. In the last 20 years, eToy, Pierre-Yves and Philippe Parrainot or Adrian Piper even integrated unilateral assertory certificates issued after the fact or bilateral promissory contracts negotiated by two parties beforehand in their work. Recent examples shown at the last Documenta include Sokol Bekiri or Irina Hajduk, all operating within this field in various different ways. In addition to Seelfleuer, I would like to focus on a work by Maria Eichhorn, not on the Maria Eichhorn Aktiengesellschaft, which is a major work on the subject of contractualization in the name of art, but rather on a more marginal one. The work itself was displayed on the ground floor at the Kunsthaus Bregenz, next to the cash register. It functioned as both the beginning and the end of Eichhorn's solo exhibition. While a postcard holder that Floyer stripped bare of its goods was in a way familiar to visitors wandering through museum shops, Eichhorn's wooden object posed more of an enigma. On the one hand, it resembled a cage for a small animal. On the other hand, the delicate, symmetrical design was so unusual as to confirm the suspicions that this might be, in fact, a work of art. Suspicions that were initially aroused by the plinth and the context of an exhibition. Paratexts such as wall labels or leaflets reveal the title Eichhörnchenkäfig, squirrel cage. Floyer's title, Wish You Were Here, recalls not only the standard message to absent friends, but also the poignant melody of the Pink Floyd song, which was an enormous commercial success, despite or perhaps because of criticizing the music industry. Eichhorn's self-referential tautological choice of name runs counter to any such far-reaching associations, but nonetheless also could function as institutional critique. However, this embleme of the caged artist, whose proper name is rendered a diminutive Eichhörnchen, was available for 6,000 euro as a Kunsthaus Bregenz edition. The sculpture also comes along with a certificate. Its header is dominated by the words Kunsthaus Bregenz and a photograph of the cage that corresponds to the logo of the institution. This photo replaces the central sentence of Floyer's certificate stating this signed certificate together with the aforementioned components and documentation / installation instructions constitute ownership of the work Wish You Were Here. End of quote. This sentence is missing in Eichhorn's example for a good reason, for she did not take an industrial product and declare it a work of art, but instead commissioned the carpenter Johannes Nitsch to create 11 reproductions of a squirrel cage. The 19th century original forms part of the collection of the Angelika Kaufmann Museum near Bregenz. Again, uniting aspects of Duchamp's edited bottle rack and bicycle wheel, the reproduction is handcrafted after the fact. It refers not only to a past curiosity of the Alpine region, but also offers conceptual punchlines for the present day. Angelika Kaufmann, English merchant, is one of the most famous female 18th century artists. Her name already carries the connotation of mercantilism. Eichhorn's edition plays with the idea of a Trojan horse. Standing next to the museum's cashiers, the Eichhörnchenkäfig unites a site-specific reference to Bregenz, a feminist reference to the artist's self, and an economic reference to outsourcing. Finally, another example of authentication by Olaf Nicolai. You see his signature with the place and the date on a postcard that presumably shows a photograph of his neon sign, Hello There, Hell Here, on the other side. This postcard could be considered a Murr autograph because it is auctioned by eBay at the moment for 26 euro. But it could also be considered as another paragon, another way of certifying the postcard depicting an original Nicolai. Apart from the original certificate that probably accompanies the neon sign, it is another place for the artist's signature in the net around his work. The light handwriting's visual attractiveness is close to a pencil drawing as a very traditional artistic medium. But it also contrasts with the heavy-handed writing, "Hello there, hell here," on the front. In conclusion, I would like to sketch some aspects of a potential topology and typology of authentication. In all the examples, the signature and the signed paper, including paper rulings, types of writings, fonts, and logos, can, due to potential plurality of authors, indicate a network of producers and reproducers. Even if a work is authenticated orally, see Tino Segal, for example, or written authentication is kept locked up, it does not dematerialize. One could discuss even the example of Olaf Nicolai's autograph within the discourse of art as currency or art as derivative, as Hito Steil, David Joselit, or Mackenzie Walk have suggested. Every authentication seems to affect both what is authenticated and what authenticates it. For example, Floyer's X and inclusion of the printed material designed to be written on, be it the postcard or the certificate, demonstrates that the actual work can become a placeholder for its actual byproduct. And this is probably not only true for post-conceptual art. Attributions of status, this is the work, this is the byproduct, therefore become less clear, an effect that applies in both directions. A buyer might acquire a laconically designed but nonetheless signed certificate rather than the industrially produced object made for display. The question, what is art and what is non-art, what is archival material and what is an exhibit, what is to be hidden and what is to be made visible, are therefore subject to negotiation. Thank you.